time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
I feel like Bruce should be hosting this edition of A Band of Manitoba, but here I am nonetheless, and Gordon Goldsmith joins us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about this week?
Well, this last week, I have been thinking about beer. You know, nice weather, you know, it's a kind of nice thing to have. Or more specifically, I've been thinking about beer brewing in Brandon.
Say that again, but quicker.
Beer brewing in Brandon.
Oh,
beer brewing
good.
In Brandon.
Go ahead.
Now, one of Winnipeg's many microbreweries recently announced that it is expanding to the Wheat City, bringing the count there to 3. Oh, good news for Brandon, I think. And that sent me down a historical path to a building in Brandon on Assiniboine Avenue, what I'm calling the Brandon Brewing Building. Lots of B's today. Brandon Brewing Building. That, as far as I know, is the last surviving reminder of Brandon's original brewing industry from over 100 years ago. But before we get started, I have to give a big shout out to Dave Craig.
Who is that?
Well, I consider Dave to be Manitoba's preeminent brewerianist. What is that, you ask? What is a brewerianist? It's someone who researches and collects brewery paraphernalia. Beer bottles, cans, caps, labels, signs, trays, coasters, posters, and a whole lot more. And Dave is a walking encyclopedia about the roots of beer brewing here in Manitoba. He's written an article, in fact, about the brewing of beer in Brandon that was my inspiration for today's conversation. And he's written a wonderful book about Manitoba's brewing history more generally.
And what does he tell us about Brandon's brewing history?
Well, his research indicates that within just 3 years of its incorporation, Brandon became a city in 1882. Brandon had its own brewery. It was called the Brandon Brewing Company. In late 1885, the brewing company began brewing 8 barrels of beer each day. That sounds like a lot of beer to me. And there were actually 3 kinds of beer. There was India Pale Ale, Imperial Stout, or Porter. But for reasons I don't understand, the brewery didn't succeed. It closed, in fact, by 1891. But by this time, there were other breweries that had emerged, including the Crown Brewery that was later renamed the Empire Brewing Company. And that one is legendary in Brandon history. Many people remember the Empire Brewing Company. But a reconstituted Brandon Brewing Company started in 1902 by a fellow named Henry Malley. He built a substantial brewing facility that lasted just 3 years, because on Christmas Day, 1905, that whole brewery was destroyed by a fire that began in his boiler room. But Henry Malley was undeterred. He pledged to build a new brewery, and in fact, the new one was going to be twice the size of the original one, and I take that as a sign of just how well the business was doing.
And what did the brewery look like?
Well, it consisted of at least 2 buildings that I've been able to work out. And those buildings were constructed over a period of time. So the main brewing building, the one that actually did the actual brewing, sat at the corner of 14th Street North and Assiniboine Avenue. And if you're not familiar with Brandon, that's immediately adjacent to the big Canadian Pacific Railway yard, you know, that cuts right through the middle of Brandon. You know, and I would imagine that being so close to the rail yard would have been ideal for, you know, for both receiving raw materials and also for shipping beer to thirsty customers. In 1907, the next phase of expansion of the facility occurred, and basically tenders went out to construct a second building to the west of the first one, where the finished beer would then be put in bottles and shipped onto market. This building is the one that still stands today. It's the one we're talking about. It's a 2-story building. It has a steel frame, solid brick walls, and a full basement underneath. In fact, I didn't realize that it had a basement until I actually had a look at it. And, you know, the idea here was that the finished beer that had been brewed in the other building would be put in bottles and then shipped on. This is, I think, an interesting building. It had a spur line running along the south side, and I presume that's where they would bring in the raw materials and so on. It was a big building, though, 15,000 square feet. So obviously what it suggests is they were cranking out a lot of beer. But we don't know some basic details about the building. We don't know, for example, what architect designed it. But we do know who built it. It was a contractor named John Forbes. And I went down a real deep rabbit hole trying to find out more about Mr. Forbes. I found out that he had actually built quite a few very prominent buildings around Brandon, but as far as I can tell, this building is the only one left standing today.
So it sounds like business was going well.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, the fact that they built two big buildings, you know, in a very short period of time. And in fact, I think it was doing so well that Henry Malley was really becoming an established person in Brandon. 1912, he and his family move into a grand two-story home at the corner of Victoria Avenue and 16th Street. But unfortunately, the family's residence there was short because, well, 1912 is just 4 years before the proclamation of Prohibition. And of course, like Manitoba breweries everywhere, Prohibition really put the crimp on the business for the Brandon Brewing Company. And I don't know much about Mr. Malley, but I think he got pretty creative at this point because Dave Craig points out that there was a loophole in the legislation for Prohibition that allowed you to make full-strength beer, in other words, with all the alcohol, but it had to be sold and shipped out of Manitoba. You couldn't consume it locally. So then he was charged with selling beer to a customer in Moosomin, Saskatchewan, which, if you don't know, is like literally about 25 kilometers into Saskatchewan from Manitoba. And then that person promptly shipped it back to an address that was only a block away from the brewery. In other words, it was just a way of sneaking the beer back in that he could sell it locally in Brandon. Well, he got caught. He was convicted. He paid a fine of $250, which I know doesn't sound like very much today, but that was about $8,000 in today's money. So that was a pretty substantial sum of money.
So what happened to Henry Malley?
Well, I think that was one of the rare cases where he maybe did succeed. The restrictions on beer sales ultimately caused his beer profits to plummet. And unfortunately, the Malleys lost that grand house on Victoria Avenue, and they eventually left Brandon. I haven't figured out exactly when. He was still living in Brandon as late as 1923, but he ended up dying in Florida, so he's obviously gone far, far away. And so in 1918, after they lost the house, it was bought by a local doctor named McDermott, and the McDermott family lived there until 1978. And after that, the Malley House was used as a bed and breakfast. And in fact, it was known when I lived in Brandon, it was called Casa Malley. And I always wondered, why is it called that? Well, it was a nod to that early brewing history. Then it was a medical counseling service until 2022. And I don't know what's happening to it today, but it is a very attractive building. And I bet you most Brandonites just don't know that it had an early connection to brewing of beer in Brandon.
So what happened to the Brandon Brewing Company?
Well, after Prohibition was repealed in 1923, the brewery was purchased by a group of businessmen from here in Winnipeg. 5 years later, 1928, a Winnipeg businessman named George Black came on the scene. Now, that name may not resonate, but you might have heard of his grandson. One of the grandsons of George Black was none other than media tycoon Conrad Black, of course, who's still with us today. He's also a very, you know, big businessman. George Black was a brewing mogul. You know, in 1924, he had bought a brewery here in Winnipeg that was adjacent to the Redwood Bridge. It was known as Drury's Brewery, and that was the beginnings of a brewing empire. George Black formed Western Breweries Limited as a holding company for the assets of, you know, the Drury's Brewery, but he also bought a number of other breweries around Manitoba and Saskatchewan, including that Brandon Brewing Company. You know, so in effect, I think of 1928 as the beginning of the end for small breweries in Western Canada. You know, at one time, a lot of places would have a brewery. A lot of small towns would have a brewery. But, you know, eventually we would end up with a situation that I remember from my early days when there was a few very large breweries and really no small ones. That was 1928 when George Black got in the scene. Well, then use of that building in Brandon for making beer ended around this time, around 28 to 30. But the machinery inside, that bottling machinery, because that's what it was a bottling plant. Well, it remained intact for several years because I found a newspaper story from 1938 where thieves broke in and they stole more than 100 pounds of brass from the bottling machine, which of course probably rendered it inoperable. But by that time, well, I guess it really wasn't a big deal because they weren't using it anyway. But they did continue to use this building as a warehouse for storing beer. And the business that operated it was a subsidiary of George Black's called the Brewery Products Limited. And that use continued up until the mid-1970s, around about 1974, as near as we can tell.
And what's at the site today?
Well, the building still stands. The main brewing building, though, the one where they made the beer, it's long gone. They demolished it many years ago. And there's actually a different brick building on the site. The railway spur that used to serve the site, it's long gone. The big doors that were on the south side of that former bottling building, well, I suspect they haven't opened in decades. But if you look really closely at the south wall of the building, you can make out some faint letters that say Brewery. You know, I think that's kind of neat that, you know, it's a tiny reminder, you know, of a proud tradition that mostly ended in the 1930s. But what I think particularly neat is that it resumed in August of 2021. So as opposed to the days when there was just a few big mega breweries, well, there's a lot of more microbreweries. And in 2021, Black Wheat Brewing, one of my personal favorites, became Brandon's first brewing facility in decades.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, I'm going to be talking about something the Manitoba Historical Society has done every year around this time for the past 7 years. We have released a list of 10 buildings or structures that, in our view, are at risk of loss. You know, and this year, we're actually widening the criteria to include any kind of historical resource. And I think some of them that are on our list this year may be familiar to faithful listeners of Abandoned Manitoba. So stay tuned. I'm going to share the full list here next Sunday.
Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.